You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I think that between Brentford and Bournemouth away, we could have got at least 4 points from those two games, and we've ended up with one. Now, I'm not trying to be too negative, but it's just frustrating.
It's not your fault that Forest have had some negative results. You're allowed to, if you're making a podcast about it, talk about those negative results by going, I don't mean to be... Do you know what I mean? Just go for it. It's more fun for us.
All right, thank you for letting me go for it. Appreciate that. Thanks, Matt. Is there anything else you want me to do? Do you want me to dance on the table? Is there anything else you want me to do? We're going to have a bit of Bournemouth reaction. We're going to do an FA Cup preview. We'll do a review corner, throw that somewhere in there. And then before we get into that, let's do a quick Forest all over the world, okay? We've got Oliver in China. I believe Oliver's still down in China, and we've reached out to him recently enough, checking in on how he's doing. He was on the podcast with us quite a few episodes ago. So big shout out to Oliver. We're looking to get Oliver back on. We've got Kiel, I don't know how to pronounce it. It's spelled K-I-E-L, so maybe you can help me. Kyle Porter, based in Chicago, who was also one who felt that Dominguez had a good game. We'll get into that later as well. Big shout out to him in the USA. Forgive me if I didn't pronounce your name correctly. We've got Jace Andrews, who made the trip to Bristol last time, and hope he'll be enjoying the FA Cup at the City Ground this week. And we hope for a big week. We've got three home games coming up. Back to back to back, Bristol, Newcastle, West Ham. We're going to do Bristol and Newcastle today. Matt, Bournemouth, let's get into it. So, you've given me your initial reaction. What were our pathway predictions for that game again? You predicted a win, right?
And I predicted a 1-1 draw. I thought we'd go and do them, yeah. Thought we'd go and win.
Yeah. Okay, and to be honest, I actually thought we looked the more likely of the two teams. Now that I look at the game, I was really disappointed with the first half for some reason. But maybe that was just a mental block I had with Bournemouth. But I actually thought that we were the better side overall. Would you agree?
I don't agree that we're the better side, because if we were the better side, we'd have won the game. It was a horrible game to watch. Both sides never really got anything together. We're grateful for the moments of quality from the likes of Callum Hudson-Odoi. Would love to see Taiwo and Alanga getting back to how they were at their best, which is only going to come in time. So it's a juggling act, isn't it, going forward with them two? Do they get warmed up and played during the FA Cup game, or is that a risk? I never know if that's even worth... I mean, it's a football game.
We will get into that. We'll talk about who we have available for that FA Cup game as well.
But, okay, short answer was no, I don't think we're the better side, and I'm really relieved. I thought we had Murillo, basically.
I think Omar Bamadeli had a really good game. Let's do some positives and negatives, quick reaction, and just get a quick sentence from you, okay? So, positives, Taiwo getting 90 minutes. That's got to be a positive, right? Back from injury.
Callum Hudson-Odoi scored an amazing equaliser, Chris. Is surely the positive, and Murillo nullifying Solanke. They're the positives. They're the headlines, right? Taiwo,
yeah, okay.
Back in the team's great news, but he looked really blunt.
Yeah, but he looked a bit blunt, but I mean, you've got to understand that's his first 90 minutes in a few months. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, he's been he's been coming off the bench or coming off after 45 minutes since he's been back. So that's like, that's a massive positive, him getting a full 90. It means that we believe he can play that, particularly against Newcastle next week. And hopefully we don't play him in the FA Cup. We'll get into that later. Sells, the goalkeeper, positive, look comfortable. Is that a positive?
Yeah, it was this, his confidence and his comfort that was extremely positive. I just loved it, mainly because you were so sure before the game that... you were just going on about how our higher-ups at the club, whoever deals with that stuff, would let you down and you should be in that position. Yeah, because you were going, as if these clowns are running our club and he can't even start because he's not got the paperwork done. And lo and behold, you and your sources of absolute bollocks, just online rumours, and I can't wait till we don't get a deduction and I can't wait till more proof is that you don't actually have a Scooby-Doo, Chris. Matt Sells came in, calm was collected, and he was brilliant, wasn't he? I'm excited for him to become to have come under the radar and become, Darren Fletcher mentioned, he goes, we expected Sangare to come and be amazing for 30 million. Matt Sells comes in, feels like not very glamorous, but he could, I just think it's going to work out really well for him and for Forrest.
Well, the main positive is there was no talking points about the goalkeeper. That's obviously the main positive. As for your digs, don't worry, I'll catch up with you later on that, because I know there'll be something that you will say that will trigger me to realise that you don't know what you're talking about, not just me. But we'll get to that later. We'll stick to your point. You're right so far about a lot. Negatives. Let's get into a few negatives. Set pieces. We conceded within 5 minutes, which hamstrung us immediately. Williams was poor front post for that. It's so annoying, isn't it? It's so annoying. I felt like offensively some of our set pieces were working quite well. Morgan Gibbs-White had a lovely one over the top second half for Omar Bamadeli, who couldn't control it. First half, we had a couple of big chances. One was a header from Murillo into Yates, who knocked it into the arms of the keeper. Our goal came from a bobbling set piece that Murillo controlled for Callum Hudson-Odoi, who controlled it himself and then scored. But defensively, set pieces, Matt, not again.
Yeah, again, and you could smell it from the off, though. We started so poorly, mate. We started so badly, and I mean, set pieces, not again. It's how loads of lower Premier League... Huh?
As in defensively, like, why are we conceding, like, and in 5 minutes? You know what I mean? Like, we could have won that game, you know?
Well, literally, but for two reasons. Gibbs-White didn't stay on the back post and was too eager to get involved at the front post, and Nico Williams completely got outdone by that guy that came and ran in. And got him. I mean, it was just it was Serge Aurier before. Do you remember when he ducked under the Luton one and then a couple of games later he ducked in under the room? Now it's Nico Williams, just not got the strength or energy. God, no, I don't know what it is, but he couldn't handle it. He couldn't get there before the Bournemouth player. And
that's frustrating.
And Gibbs White had legged it away from the back post. Maybe I haven't played football enough to know, but is that...
I don't know. I didn't see that. Like, maybe I think that. Look, I think it was a very, very good corner, front post corner. And I think it was a very, very good flick on. But I think that you cannot let that happen at the front post at all. I think Williams is probably guilty there more than anyone, and maybe even a couple of the centre backs for not seeing it. But maybe they were marking who they were marking. I don't know. All I saw was Williams front post, but it's just annoying to concede from that. But other than that, we defended them well. 12 minutes at the end with them down to 10 men and no real potent threat. You know, Billing gets sent off. What do you think of that? Like 12, I mean, 5 minutes, but then 7 minutes out of time or whatever it is. It's just annoying that we couldn't offer anything really in those minutes, right?
That's why we definitely weren't the better side, because they even had 10 men. And even when people haven't scored against Forest with 10 men, we're on the edge of our seats, like, squeaky bum time stuff. I felt like we were still more under the cosh from Bournemouth with those. They got more corners at the end and things. I was really disappointed. If that continues, then flipping heck, we surely don't deserve to stay up. Those players that we have to be able to be more threatening.
Come on, just stop.
You've got to be able
that.
To be more threatening. We do.
That's what I'm saying. But don't throw in, oh, we don't deserve to stay up. We don't need to go so extreme. Anyway, let's step out of the Bournemouth game.
Let me just ask you, because this is more fun.
Ask me whatever you want.
Do you think we could still finish above Bournemouth this season? And how much would you love it if we did?
If we don't get the deduction, possibly.
Forget that.
We'd have to go on a run. Huh?
How much would you love it?
Even if we were a place below Bournemouth and they didn't progress as much ahead of us as they thought they would, I'd still be standing on the wall with a foghorn screaming in their faces, telling them how shit they are and how their stadium is pathetic.
And we'll get them next year. We're getting the double over.
We will get them. We'll get you eventually, Bournemouth. We will get you and Brentford eventually.
I want you to talk about that referee again. You mentioned that she'd let something go. A lot of people have said that. Tell me a referee this year that has given a better performance than her for a Forest game.
I would actually agree that her performance as a referee overall was better than most referees we've had this season. I would actually agree with that.
That's what I was thinking. I was listening to people go,
There was one mistake.
Yeah, but they all make loads of mistakes. They're all such
I agree. But what I'm saying to you is, for me, Cliver already on a yellow, making a yellow card tackle, didn't get a second yellow, and then a minute later making another yellow card tackle, didn't get a second yellow. For me, that's a bit of I wasn't impressed with that decision, but I was very impressed with the Billing decision. And overall,
very impressed, but also the overall game.
Overall, should a good game. Really good game. Yeah.
Why are we bringing up the? Of course, was wanting that guy to
get
sent off. It was really annoying that he didn't.
It's a big moment.
But when I go back through all the other games I've been to over the past two Premier League seasons and watched on telly, and or in the Championship, I think there's been about one or two games out of all of them where we've come away and I've heard the pros, the BBC pundits and co, go, you know what, we've got to give credit to the referee there. Once or twice, maybe three times. She is now already in that category and she deserves a lot of praise because there is extra pressure on her being the trailblazer. I'm not trying to get all like supporting her just because she's a woman. I was going, you know what, she deserves a lot of credit for that. And it was actually my most enjoyed, one of the high most games where I've not been annoyed by a referee.
I absolutely agree with you.
I
absolutely agree with you. But like, I absolutely agree with you. But I'm going to tell you this now. That moment was a big moment. It's about 55 minutes in the game. Cliveyrt should have been sent off. Now, it's not a screaming obvious error like the Bali one in the last Bournemouth game, which, I mean, was a disgrace. It's just one of those errors that I noticed in the middle of the game and thought, oh God, that's not good enough. That player should be sent off. But look, ultimately, overall, yes, fantastic game. Completely agree with you. Let's move on from that now. Can I ask you a quick question? Because I think you're going to like this question.
Yeah.
The thing is, you don't even know why you're going to like this question. What did you think of Dominguez?
Oh, I loved him. I noticed some of his exceptional tackles, even in near towards our box, towards the sides. He made particularly good, again, getting possession off their forward players. I thought he was brilliant at it.
And with that, welcome to the review corner. Matt, at the end of every game, I do a final reaction on Twitter, and you weren't even involved in this, right? This was me. And one of the takes I had in those positives and negatives went down like the Titanic. I mentioned that Dominguez was poor and got an avalanche of responses telling me how well he did, and I didn't know what I was talking about. And you are going to revel in this. I'll read you.
Especially seeing as I didn't know any of that, and I've just given an opposite view to you, so I'm guessing I'm there on...
Right. Some of these are brilliant, right? How do you make Dominguez to be poor when he won 8 out of 9 tackles? Is this clickbait? Was one of them. Another one was, if you think Dominguez was poor today, then you need to maybe invest in a different sport. Strange, strange take. Another one was Jan, I think he was just piling on jokingly, saying, Dominguez for Ballon d'Or, just have a go at me. Right?
Brilliant.
And then this one's one of my favourites. By the way, there was 50 or 60 of these, and it's still going today, just to let you know. You haven't even been aware of this. I know it's a game of opinions, but if you thought Dominguez was poor, I'm not sure there's any value to the podcast. I even had one person reach out, go, this, no one, back and forth with another bloke. No wonder no one listens to this podcast. The reason people don't listen to this podcast isn't because of that unpopular take that I just had.
What was this thing, Chris?
I could have brought Pierre Van Hooydonk on and had him explain why he went on strike and got less engagement than I did for that unpopular take. I got ripped apart. I don't think it was as good as he could have been, despite the 8 out of 9 tackles and all the stats that people have proven me wrong with. But in retrospect, it's probably a poor take. But you know what? I'm going to defend my position anyway. Because screw it. Like, I'm going to stand by it, right? I watched the first half again today. 15 minutes in, he gave a misplaced pass away to Christie under no pressure. To be fair, he won the ball back, but still gave it away in a dangerous position. A minute later, he got dispossessed from a throw-in that led to a Semenyo shot, which forced a corner. He then gave away a soft free kick 2 minutes later in a dangerous area. And there were numerous moments where he slowed down transition play, was slightly slow on the ball. But to be fair, I saw so many good positives as well that I was like, oh, maybe people have a point. But I stand by it to a degree. I just think that highlighting him was probably the wrong take considering there were other players that were worse. But I still kind of stand by it. You know, that's just the way I am. But it seems like I don't really know what I'm talking about. That's what they're getting at. But I knew you'd love it. I knew. And the best thing is that you thought he was brilliant. That's the best thing.
It was once you described him as running around the game like a headless chicken. I can't remember. I think it was against Brighton at home or something a few weeks ago. And you were like, get him off. He's running around like a headless chicken. A bit of me was like, is this happening again with Dominguez? Is he struggling? And I couldn't quite see. But then the time, it was him and Murillo. I kept noticing doing just making amazing tackles for the ball when they're one-to-ones with or 50-50s, whatever you want to call it. They kept...
Murillo was amazing.
Yeah, he was successful. But yeah, so there we go. Dominguez, Chris still believes, did not have a good game, despite the stats proving otherwise, despite being our most popular bit of traffic on social media for a while. And I don't know why I liked him, but I did.
Ryan Yates, what were your thoughts on him? A lot of people felt like he didn't have a good game. I just want to really quickly go through it because there was moments where I thought he was disappointing, but then first 10 minutes, he won the ball really well down the byline, deflected shot, which took the sting out into Sal's arms. He was hassling a bit. First half, he was good. Second half, not so good. What are your thoughts?
Kicked the ball straight at their keeper a couple of times when I think he could have scored, but then the commentary said that he handballed it down or something, so it might not have counted. But, oh, we just all would love for him to get his goals going, wouldn't we? In those moments that he has opportunities, you just can't help but feel that you imagine if that was someone, even if someone like Sheffield United, someone like that Hamer guy, he's going, you know, they'd have scored that, they'd have buried it, give him a goal.
Probably right place, wrong man kind of thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he was in the right place at the right time, but he had a couple of shots that were fairly weak. But I think with the midfield in general, I just noticed Mangala's missing now, so we can't. Those players can't switch into that technically gifted player we need on the ball. And when Sangari comes back or when Danilo comes on, we kind of see more of that. Right, let's move into the FA Cup preview. Enough of that game. Let's move into the FA Cup preview. Bristol, Wednesday. There's some more news that you don't even know about
right, yet.
FA Cup preview. There's some news that you don't even know about that I only found out half an hour before we jumped on today. No Yates or Dominguez as they're suspended. You didn't know that, did you? I think it's a 2 yellow card rule or something, FA Cup. Yeah.
But does that mean we get them back for Newcastle?
Yeah, well, I don't think they're not suspended for the Premier League. I think they're just suspended for the FA Cup. I think it's, I don't know how they, well, anyway, they're suspended, right? So our midfield is decimated because Danilo and then Kouyaté, if he gets it back, and we'll talk about that in a second. But here's some more news. No Reyna, Ribeiro, or Sells, as they weren't registered for the game in time.
Oh, God.
I broke that news for you. Oh, so...
You're joking. That was the game that they could have come in and had a blast.
I know. So how do we line up and how do we protect the players we need desperately for the Newcastle game, which we'll preview in a bit as well? How do we do that?
Right. We got to get Niakate in the game. Alongside,
well, don't just do your vague drifting through the team as you always do. Start from the back and pick your team. Give me your team. Go from the
like
back.
Like I said, let's protect ourselves. There's no point getting him injured while we've just got him. Let's stick him.
We know that. What do you mean protect him? He can't play.
Oh,
he's
he can't
not registered
even play.
In time.
Okay,
no,
put
because
Turner
it's
back
a replay. Right, okay, sorry. Name your team back to front. Started off 4-2-3-1 or whatever formation you want. Name your team. Go.
Right, I'm going to try and squeeze into the normal formation, 4-2-3-1, with Turner in goal.
Yep.
Just for the laugh. I mean, I think it's worth it just for the laugh.
It's not just for the laugh. It's either him or Vlaka Demos. So just
yeah, yeah, but I think there's something. I just think it's worth putting Turner in for the laugh. And I think have Toffolo on the left.
Yep.
Oh, you got to go Montiel on the right. And I think Niakate.
Oh, it's just so labored. Jesus. Okay, you mentioned earlier on WhatsApp that you wanted Felipe alongside Niakate. Obviously, Danilo comes in and Kouyaté if he's back. But if he's not, Morgan Gibbs-White drops in middle. So who's your middle three? Who's your middle three?
It's got to be Elanga and Callum Hudson-Odoi. Maybe put Neco Williams up there. Can he do that? Is he fast and strong enough?
No, I think we have to put Williams up there. I think we have to rest one of Callum Hudson-Odoi or Elanga, if not both. Like, we need to rest one of them.
Callum Hudson-Odoi, depending on that injury.
Yeah, agree. So we're looking at Williams, Elanga, and Gibbs-White if Kouyaté is back. And if, let's say, Gibbs-White has to drop into the middle with Danilo, who are we playing in the front three? Williams, Elanga, and who?
Maybe Tavares could go on the left, trying out the
God, this is... Maybe. So you're saying play Williams far right, Tavares far left, and like someone like Elanga through the middle or something.
I think Elanga could do the game. I think he need keep Elanga on. I'm trying to like protect. But you know what? I'd get Taiwo and Elanga playing, assuming they won't get injured.
I don't think we play Taiwo.
Oh, God. As ever, Chris, this has managed to become extremely painful for everyone listening. I can't believe we've signed 40 players in four windows and we can't cope with an FA Cup clash against Bristol City.
Well, maybe it just shows that we needed him. But look, I think you play Osan up top. Academy player, was in the FA Youth Cup final. You know, he's been on the bench a few times. He's been forcing his way to get a start. I mean, Wood is injured. Ribeiro can't play. Taiwo, we need to wrap up because we need him for Newcastle because Wood won't be available for that game. So let's just play Osan. It's home game, City ground, FA Cup, team below us in the divisions. Let's play Osan up top. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Yeah, I agree. Massively. That's a brilliant
okay.
idea.
Now, moving on from the team sheet that no one knows what it is because we didn't explain it very well and we're missing loads of players, let's talk about the FA Cup in general. It has been a really nice distraction from the FFP nonsense, right? A really nice distraction despite replays and playing Blackpool and press. It's been a good distraction and despite a nil-all horrible draw the last game. I really want to go on and progress in this. We have Man United at home next if we beat Bristol. So I really want to win this game, and I think Nuno does too. It's a huge game for us. I know people, you know, if we beat them, we play Man U at home, and that's potential to go to quarterfinals, right? So what are your thoughts in general on it? The games are coming thick and fast. Are you happy to still be in the FA Cup? Do you believe in my red hot take that we can go on and win it?
I would have done, but I think Man United are going to have a really strong second half of the season. Although it's really funny watching them have like one or two good results. And what's his name? Ten Hag. He's like, speaks as if he's a really giddy fan. He just can't, it's like he can't believe his luck when they get a result. You hear him after the win they had the other day. I was like,
I guess
listening
Wolves
to him.
Late.
He's just like talks. He even goes as far as to say, I really believe this team will go on and to win some big things. And you're like, oh, mate, hold the phone. It's so crap for you guys. But yeah, Chris, back to us. I do think that we are going to struggle at home to Man United in a different way.
If we play Man United, we have to get through Bristol. We have to get through Bristol. So let's just talk
about that. Yeah, I'm assuming we beat Bristol. I mean, as a fan base, we deserve to expect to beat Bristol. We deserve to expect to beat Bristol.
Yeah. Well, you said it twice as if...
because I was going to give a reason why and then I couldn't be asked and it's not relevant. I just think we should be thinking that we're going to win. How creative is Nuno going to be able to get with who and how he can play? You know what? I bet he just plays the normal Premier League side because of availability, mate. It's going to be Taiwo, Elanga, Hudson-Odoi, Mick Gibbs-White. There's going to be a Danilo in there in the middle, and he'll probably stick maybe Murillo for a bit further forward and have your two guys, Felipe and Niakate, at centre-back. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I wonder. I don't know because I looked at the bench the other day. It looked fairly like obviously we had Toffolo and a couple of players who could have come off the bench there, but we had two goalkeepers benched Do you see that with like Demos and Turner? And I was complaining about it. And then someone rightly messaged me saying, well, apparently it's all the rage because Bournemouth also had two bench keepers as well. So, right. So anyway, look, yeah, I think we should expect to beat Bristol. I want a quick score prediction from that game. And then I'm going to do a really mini Newcastle preview and then we'll get the hell out of here. So a quick score prediction for Bristol. Are we going to win, lose or draw? Go for it.
4-1 to Forest.
Jesus. Who's getting the goals?
We're getting some goals. We're going to get, I don't know what the lineup
name
is.
Name people. What's with the hesitation?
I don't know what the lineup is, but I reckon it will be.
But just give the name people from your lineup.
Yeah, well, Gibbs White's getting on the score sheet. I think Murillo's getting on the score sheet as the fourth. You'll get the fourth goal. And I think, Danilo's getting a goal and I think they'll score an own goal.
Okay. Wow. And you know what I think? I think we're going to win 2-1. I think we'll go 2-0 up and I think they'll score late to try and rally, but we'll close it out. Win 2-1 at home. Three home games coming up after that. If you haven't listened already, the Pathway episode with Dr. Will was on last time. That was a really good one because we have all the scores of every Premier League game we think is going to happen in the future to hit our points target, which will keep us up with or without the deduction. Follow us at... Matt, give it to me. Give it to me.
NFFC all over or at Forest all over on Instagram.
So NFFC all over on Twitter, Forest all over on Instagram.
It's called X, mate. It's called X.
Yeah, well, X. Matt doesn't do too much of the social media. The only time he's ever done it has been to slag me off using our own handle, messaging other people saying Chris is an idiot, isn't he? So that's the only time he's used social media. So give him a break. If there's any bad takes out there, you come to me first and I'll be the first port of call before I throw Matt into the fire pit. You can go to forestallover.com. Rate us on Spotify. This is a Forest
All Over
World.
Maybe don't ask for people to rate us, Chris.
Maybe don't ask them to rate us. Yeah, leave that alone. Follow us. Anyway, see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, guys. See ya.
Sports Social Podcast Network.